From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point, live from the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Maybe you've been making dinner or walking the dog or just getting home, but in Tampa, Florida, this evening and all day, there has been a big hullabaloo going on. Republicans calling the roll, state by state, to make Mitt Romney their bona fide challenger for the White House. And all those delegates in their cowboy hats from Texas and wild scarves and sparkly flag pins cheering loudly. This hour on Point, we'll talk with delegates to the Republican National Convention. You can join the conversation. What do you want to ask the people on the floor at the GOP's big powwow this week about Mitt Romney, our country, their view of our future? Here's your chance. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We are broadcasting this week from the Tampa Convention Center, keeping an eye on Hurricane Isaac and a close focus on the GOP. They were busy today calling the roll, formally nominating Mitt Romney.
New Mexico cast all 23 votes for the next president of the United States, Governor Mitt Romney.
Yeah. Alabama's 50 delegates unanimously cast our votes. The next president of the United States, Mitt Romney!
And we're the state of the soon-to-be immediate past president of the United States of America. Illinois cast 69 votes unanimously for Mitt Romney to be the president of the United States.
Oh boy, there were high spirits on the floor. There were some rough moments too. We'll talk about those in a moment. GOP delegates straight from the convention floor today. But first, Brian Monroe is with us, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and editor of CNNpolitics.com to write along. Army brat, I say with respect. He has lived all over, knows his presidential politics inside and out. Brian Monroe, welcome back to On Point. It's great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So how is this, you know, Isaac threw a rock in the pond here, but logistically and in larger terms, how's this convention shaping up right here from the start for the GOP and Mitt Romney?
Well, Tom, I just came back from the Tampa Bay Forum, where the convention has kicked
just
off.
Just behind us here where the hall is full of people.
A short walk unless you have to go through the Secret Service magnetometers.
Right. It could take all day.
And, you know, the weather is now finally starting to cooperate here. It was rainy with Isaac passing by on its way to the Gulf. Now it's gotten a little sunny and warm. But really what's happening is here tonight is they have just put Mitt Romney over the top. He has now secured the 1,144 delegates needed for the nomination.
Funny to think back to the spring when all that was in question. People wondered if Rick Santorum would have a floor fight here, if Newt Gingrich would pull off some miracle. And, of course, Ron Paul's people fighting all the way up to today.
And that's where some of the drama on the floor was tonight.
What
Everyone
happened?
Was wondering which state's going to put Romney over top. Mm-hmm. Will it be Wisconsin? Will it be his home state of Michigan or maybe Massachusetts? But because there were so many Ron Paul delegates who were uncomfortable with some of the rules that were passed over the last couple of days, they couldn't quite get it right. So it ended up being New Jersey, of all states, Chris Christie's home state. Christie, of course, will be speaking tonight as the keynote speaker.
Along with Ann Romney, with Nikki Haley of South Carolina. Now, we heard a lot of cheering this afternoon, but we heard boos, too. There were some moments, Ron Paul people, rules changes that were not popular. What were those about?
There was one, probably one of the biggest ones, was a rule change called Rule 15 that would have allowed the presidential candidate to, in fact, veto or overrule the selection of a delegate or delegate slate from a particular state. And that was seen as perhaps even pointed at the Ron Paul delegates who, you know, Ron Paul has been really organized to get his name and his delegates on several of the states in order to come here and have a big presence.
And he's not going to get that chance. Maine taking some of those delegates out today, substituting Romney people. The complaint from Ron Paul and some other conservatives on the floor that this will make future insurgencies more difficult in the GOP.
That's certainly the concern. And in fact, a voice who is not here but was heard loud and clear, Sarah Palin. She was very concerned last night and into the morning, and we're reporting as our CNN Shannon Travis has got a piece going up on CNN.com right now that's looking at Palin and Ron Paul in the debate and the drama and what really happened.
Sarah Palin calling this a direct attack on grassroots activists by the GOP establishment.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that has the grassroots very, very upset. And so we're going to see over the next couple of days if that will settle down and the unity that is expected to come out of this convention will indeed happen.
The bigger tone down there, though, today, a lot of stomping and hooting and hollering and clapping. We know it's been a long road for Mitt Romney to this point. He's been at it for a long time. Let's talk with some of the delegates. We're going to talk with four delegates tonight. We've got two with us right now who were on the floor this afternoon watching all of that. They've come from near and far, not so near. Let's get our first flight of delegates right in here. With us in Tampa, Jerry Mays of West Virginia. He was also a delegate in 2004. 69 years old, retired, four kids, nine grandkids. Is that right, Jerry?
That's right.
That's right. Retired from the National Security Agency, intelligence analyst there. He's been a Romney supporter from the beginning this time around. Jerry Mays, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thanks very much
for
having me.
Did you have fun this afternoon?
Love it.
Okay. And with us, Kevin Thomas, delegate from South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, 38, married, three kids, a medical sales executive for a company out of Waltham, Massachusetts, Mitt Romney territory, member of the Air National Guard. He was deployed to Kurdistan in 2002 in support of the Iraq War. He supported Rick Santorum before backing Romney. Kevin Thomas, welcome to you as well. Great to have you here.
Thank you. I didn't support anybody, actually.
Oh, all right. We'll come to that. We'll come to that. Jerry, let me come first to you.
Yes.
You were Romney from the beginning, out of that whole slate of primary candidates in the GOP?
That's correct.
Why Mitt Romney?
I think that the condition of the country right now requires an adult that really understands business. I think jobs and spending have to be curtailed, or you know, we're going to doom ourselves. And I just had respect for Romney's background. I followed him, you know, when he went to the Olympics out in Utah, and I've just appreciated, met him,
mm-hmm.
and he has impressed me from the very beginning.
CEO time for the United States, in your view?
Absolutely.
Kevin, how about you? What's your path to your support of Romney today? Where were your sentiments earlier on?
Yeah, as county chairman, I didn't endorse anybody. Mm-hmm. I did, and that's what a miscommunication might be, I did vote for Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I looked at, you know, he's a nominee, and we're going to support him. I think the jobs are the biggest thing. You know, it's all about jobs. Well, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but that's what we really need to do. And the president's had 3.5 years to help have policy that produces those jobs, and the results aren't here.
So what makes you think, what would you expect from a Romney presidency to change that, to turn that around, Kevin?
Well, change the policies, you know, lower taxes, and some of the regulations that have been established over the last few years that just prevent companies from hiring. You know, a lot of companies that I talk to, they're holding on to money because there's a lot of regulations preventing them for spending that money, spending that capital, and hiring people. And it's just the regulations and the EPA and different things that are preventing them from doing that.
Jerry, are you so sure that that's the stumbling block here? I mean, I've seen the numbers that, at least by the numbers, there were more regulations that were promulgated under George W. Bush than Barack Obama. Now, you can argue over the scale of this and that, but it's not as though this country hasn't had a regulation, even in very good times.
But we're involved with the EPA regulations on the Chesapeake Bay Initiative, which mm-hmm. involves six or seven states. There are eight counties in eastern West Virginia that will be affected by this. We fought with the EPA to get them to tell us the data sets that they had used to develop the models that determine the runoffs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're in coal country, so this is
a big deal.
No,
West
Virginia?
There's 55 counties in West Virginia, mm-hmm. and two of them don't have coal, and we're one of them.
Not right under your feet, but you're a West Virginian.
I'm a West Virginian, and coal is very big there, and coal's the reason why West Virginia is a red state again. But the EPA has cost hundreds of millions of dollars to clean up point sources, which are your sewer plants and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it is from agricultural means. You can't tell what those kinds of things are. For instance, they use the winter grass that farmers produce or put out based on the grass seed that was bought from the United States Department of Agriculture. They didn't consider at all any of the seed that farmers may have put down on their own without going through the Department of Agriculture.
That would hold down erosion.
Absolutely, during the winter months. They also used, you know, no farmer plows fence line to fence line.
Yeah, well,
there's a whole.
I don't know.
If they do, they knock their fences down.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
There's a whole lot of land that is not being plowed. that they are, you know, the nutrients are getting stirred up and mm-hmm. running off and everything. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they would not release that to people, you know, to departments.
Give them credit for that.
Well, or the Department of Natural Resources, Department mm-hmm. of Environmental Protection within yep. the state,
yep.
so that they could make determinations on how much we were actually polluting, so that we would, you know, how much money we were going to have to put into the sewage plants and
right.
so forth. We've also got three or four rivers that come out of Virginia. We don't know how much is coming into West Virginia. We don't have to lose it.
It's not easy to regulate when you get down into all the nuances. And at the same time, on the other hand, Kevin, I mean, the platform that was also approved today, the new GOP platform, looks like an old GOP platform here. It's been around, but we will end the EPA's war on coal. It's right in the platform that got passed today. Now, if you're from West Virginia, I understand that. If you really want to use everything fossil fuels, that makes sense. On the other hand, you know, we're seeing the reports this week, Kevin, of the North Pole ice pack smaller than it's ever been. Does that worry you as a Republican?
It doesn't worry me. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, we need rechargeable cars and we need solar power and everything else.
If you've drought.
If you've got a Prius,
wildfires.
You've still got to plug it in. Where does that energy come from? It comes from coal.
Well, it does today, but isn't part of the point, isn't part of the goal for many people to try and get us away from fuels that are melting that, maybe raising our temperatures?
See, and I disagree with the premise that there is global warming. I mean, it's a cycle. You know, it was the ice age, it was the heat wave, it
what
was
if
everything
you're wrong?
Else. What if I'm wrong? What the liberals believe in the global warming is bankrupting us because of the money we got to spend on all that.
Jerry, Kevin, stand by. We're talking with delegates at the Republican National Convention, and you can hear it right here. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. What do you want to know to hear from the GOP delegates on the floor? What's your question, your challenge, your thumbs up, thumbs down? For the Republicans here in Tampa nominating Mitt Romney. 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Brian, stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point, live from Tampa, Florida, and the Republican National Convention. Behind me right there from the floor of the convention this afternoon, Cheap Trick singing I Want You to Want Me at the GOP convention today. And, of course, they do. For Mitt Romney, roll call today, he is the man, bona fide challenger now, from the GOP to President Barack Obama. We're talking with delegates tonight, Pulitzer Prize-winning CNNPolitics.com reporter and editor, Brian Monroe is with us, and we're very glad to have him listening in. More from him in a moment. A couple of delegates with us right now, Kevin Thomas from South Carolina, Jerry Mays from West Virginia, and we will hear from more. You can join us. What's your question, your challenge, your thumbs up, your thumbs down for our GOP delegates? What's the worldview you hear from these delegates? The view you don't hear, are you with them, against them? Why? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. And we've got, here's the platform being passed this afternoon. Pretty tough platform. This is Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn.
Co-chairing your platform committee has been a great honor. It's also been a lot of work, and I'll have to tell you, a whole lot of fun. And you can be so proud of the members of your state delegations. They were smart, conscientious, and in the very best way, they were opinionated. They knew what they and you believed, and they weren't afraid to tell us so.
There, the platform is approved, and it's a tough platform. Jerry, let me ask you. This is a platform that says it backs a constitutional amendment defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Now, you know a lot of Americans have different feelings about this. Gay
Absolutely.
Marriage is legal in a bunch of states now. Do you think the GOP is on the right side of this issue?
Absolutely. I just don't believe that you're ever going to change what people think about marriage, one man, one woman.
It is changing. I mean, a lot of states have voted it in, and the people are happy with it.
But doesn't matter. It's in what's in people's minds, and what's in people's minds is marriage is between a man and a woman.
What about the people who disagree? What about the people who say, let's have fairness, let's have equality, and many states have already gone that way?
And you know, civil unions, you know, perhaps I can understand that, but as far as, you know, the marriage part of it is a defining thing. That how do you legislate that? You know,
it's easy. A lot of states have done it. They've said, hey,
they've not talked about marriage. Legal.
Judges have. Voters have not done that. Every place that's went on the ballot, it's been voted down. The legislators or the judicial branch has done that in the states, so that's separate. You're saying people have voted in different places. They haven't. Every place that's been on the ballot, it's been voted down.
Let me ask you, Kevin Thomas. You were talking about the president and the job he's done on the economy. We hear a lot at the convention, Obama has not created jobs, and of course there are not enough jobs. Everybody knows that. On the other hand, we've got the Congressional Budget Office saying that the stimulus that the president put through has saved or created up to 2 million jobs. I mean, that's a big number. Do you want more than that, or did you want a bigger stimulus, or was it a mistake to stimulate, or how do you look at that?
Let's start with saved or created. First of all, that's voodoo politics right there. How do you define a saved job? If you want to talk to people who are unemployed right now, they're the ones, if it involves you, it's a recession. If it involves you, it's a depression. So look at those people. They're not happy with the jobs, supposedly, that the stimulus created. It didn't create jobs.
Well, I mean, there's an awful lot of teachers and government employees and others doing the road building work and that stuff that was put through who do have jobs because of the stimulus.
So you saved government jobs that people are paying their taxes for. I mean, that's a different type of than stimulating jobs or the economy to grow itself and have producers.
What's the fundamental thing you want, Jerry, to change? What's the fundamental vision for this country that you'd like to see a Republican president, Mitt Romney, push toward?
I want him to push toward smaller government that does only those things that government can do and quit picking winners and losers. As I'll go back to the Chesapeake Bay Initiative, it really boils down in my mind that they're saving jobs for the watermen in Maryland and Virginia. If they had let GM and Chrysler go under, there would have been, they stop at the point about, well, look at all the jobs that would have been lost. Nissan, Hyundai, BMW, Mercedes.
It would have been better to let GM.
They're all in this country building cars. Those jobs that may have been lost because GM and Chrysler overcommitted themselves in the past would have been picked up.
So let them go.
Or General Motors could have gone through a bankruptcy process just like every other business.
So you really want a more free market field?
Absolutely. That's what's made us strong. That's what's been America from the beginning.
Kevin Thomas, we've just got you for another minute. What's the most fundamental thing you want from a change, from a Democrat to a Republican in the White House?
Well, one thing I want to do is I want somebody to step up and be a leader. And I don't feel like the president has led us out of this economy. We're still in a recession.
A lot of people say, my goodness, Republicans stonewalled all along the way.
The first 2 years, I disagree with that. He had the Senate, he had the House. That argument has no water right here.
Well, you need a supermajority in the Senate, as you know, and he didn't have that.
He had the Senate, he had the House, he had the presidency. He got what he wanted through. He got Obamacare, and then years later, he decides he wants to start working on jobs.
We don't have a budget now because the last budget that was passed when it was a Democrat Congress. They have everything that they have right now, and they get that inflationary kicker that increases their budget every year. They don't want a budget to go through the process because they realize that their special programs will be in jeopardy.
President Obama's own budget got zero votes for Republicans or Democrats.
Jerry Mays, Kevin Thomas. Jerry of West Virginia, Kevin Thomas of South Carolina, delegates to this year's Republican convention in Tampa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're going to swap out and bring in another flight of delegates. Thanks to both of you, Brian Monroe. I mean, you have been talking with all kinds of people here at this convention. This sounds pretty much straight out of the mainstream of the convention delegates we've been talking with.
Absolutely. They're not speaking anything that would get too many folks upset here.
Maybe nobody. But, you know, with the kind of concerns that they're raising, and in a year when the economy is so bad, President Obama and Mitt Romney are still neck and neck. The president's been up by a few points in the polls. Romney in some polls this week up by maybe 1 point. That is not a big lead. How do you account for that?
Almost all the polls we've seen, we've got the CNN polls of polls, which aggregates the top four or five ones together. It's shown that this race is within 2 to 3 points, and that is largely within the margin of error of any of the particular polls. And that's despite the fact that President Obama has a huge lead when it comes to favorability, likability. That there are a lot of people who still like the president. But is that translating into them coming out to vote? We're going to see. But one thing we're
going to see. Why isn't Romney further up, though, with that tough economy?
Well, that's the other side of the coin. And I think that's why this convention is so critical for the Republicans, in that this will relaunch Mitt Romney and get him out to a much more mainstream audience and support his narrative and his voice. And they're hoping that this will tighten that gap or actually flip it around.
Well, maybe that's exactly what will happen, and maybe not. We'll see. The Democrats will have their say next week. We'll be sitting talking with Democratic delegates. Two more Republican delegates with us right now in Tampa, Florida. Saul Grosskopf is here, delegate from Shawano. Is that right?
Shawano.
Shawano. Shawano, Wisconsin, 25 years old. He was 2012 chair for the Wisconsin College Republicans, now a divinity school student in Missouri, and is in basic training with the Air Force Chaplaincy Program. Saul, thanks very much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Mr. Ashbrook.
And with us here in Tampa, Adele Malpass, delegate from New York City, 49 years old, mother of four. She was on the Republican Platform Committee, which put through a tough platform today. We'll talk about that. She was first a Rick Perry supporter, later turned to Mitt Romney from New York. Her husband, David, an economist, ran against Senator Kirsten Gillibrand in the 2010 special election. We know how that turned out. Adele, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, you were on that platform committee today. It is a tough platform. You're a woman. Let me ask, first of all, in New York City, how rare are you as a big-time Republican?
Well, I live in a city that can proudly say that for almost 20 years we've had a sort of Republican mayor. And not many major cities can say that.
Why are you a Republican? Why are you a delegate? Why are you here at this convention?
I want to see the country go on a different path. We have high unemployment. We have deficits. We have debt. We need to get the government. Our government is too large. The spending is out of control. Our tax rates are too high. And we need to go on a different path to create growth and prosperity for our country.
Saul, you're the young end of the delegate population here, from my observation anyway. What brings you out of Wisconsin to this convention with the GOP in Tampa?
Well, sir, we're always talking about the future when we come to elections, and the young are going to inherit the future. It's going to be our economy that we inherit from this administration, and it's going to be our jobs that are going to be lost or gained depending on who's influencing our economy.
So what about, the future has a lot of elements to it. People need jobs. We need a strong economy. We need a strong environment. You heard the first couple of delegates we were talking to there saying, bring on the coal, get government out of that. We're watching the polar ice cap melt. Does that worry you? You're young.
I am young. And we have to look at what's going to be best, not only for our environment, but for our economy. You can look at global warming as an issue and see that there are merits on both sides of the issue. We can argue the political argument of who's right, who's wrong, what's the political affiliation of the scientist, but as of right now, there's no real conclusive evidence either way for what's causing global warming.
Does nature just speak to us right in our face at some point? Wildfires, you've seen them all summer long. Drought, we've got record heat, thousands and thousands of counties never seen heat like it.
Now, I wasn't alive at the time. I was born in the 80s, but in the 70s, there was fear of an ice age coming. There were even plans to put black soot over the polar ice caps to warm them up.
Where does the fire have to come to get your attention? Your front door? Your back door?
I guess in the 70s, where would the ice have to go to?
Yeah, but it's burning this summer, right? I just wonder when you, as a young Republican looking out at this future, might say it's time to pay more attention to that.
Well, if I want to look at the economy of the issue, I'll say it's right in my face. Half of the students my age graduating are not getting a job.
That's in your face right now.
That's in my face right now. Yeah. Friends I know cannot get work.
Yeah.
Friends are living with their parents. And, of course, there's a joke in that somewhere, but the sad reality is that's a necessity and not a choice.
Adele, what brought you around to Mitt Romney? You were a Rick Perry gal first.
Rick Perry has a great record of creating jobs and growth in Texas, and that's what attracted me. But then this was before his debate performances, and so I like the way Mitt Romney handles himself, and he's going to be a great candidate and will prove to be a great president.
Is he conservative enough for you? He's called himself severely conservative, but if you look, of course, back over, his long record, he was not always quite the slinger that Rick Perry was on that front.
He has a great record. He has talked at length about lowering taxes, having less government, less spending, and he seems to be a man of his word that he will get elected and do what he says he's going to do.
Let's go to our listeners. There are lots of them out there. Brian Monroe, Adele Malpass, Saul, it's great to have all of you with us. Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina, where the Democrats meet next week. Robert is calling. Robert, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask your guests how in the world, in a country that's founded on the principles of separation of church and state, that the Republicans can justify the plank of defining what marriage is and women's reproductive rights. It just seems incongruous with the Constitution and the origins of the United States of America.
Adele, let me put that to you. You're on the Republican Platform Committee. The platform, let's take abortion, Robert raises it. And that states the unborn child has a fundamental individual right to life which cannot be infringed. That means no exception for rape, for incest, for the health of the mother, you name it. Did you vote for it?
I did not vote for that. I am from Manhattan. I am a New York Republican, and I am not a social conservative. So, you know, I live in a state where they approved gay marriage, and one thing, it was a year, about a year ago, and one thing that is amazing about it is that on the year anniversary, 8,000 couples got married in New York City. And this platform and the things that Mitt Romney are talking about, the 23 million people who are unemployed, underemployed, and the platform committee really talked, truly 80% of the time was on jobs, the economy, debt, energy policy.
But it's all
policy.
In here. I mean,
it's
this
all
is,
in there.
You support,
all,
do you support this part of the platform?
I don't support this part of the platform, but I support the overall platform because truly a small portion of it is on the social conservatives. This,
but it's a pretty
issues.
Big deal. I mean, the Supreme Court has been changing in a very dramatic way.
I would argue
way.
That I think it's the media that makes a really big deal of this. I think the people that issues people want to talk about are jobs and the economy and how to get the things on track again.
Everybody cares about that, but that's not all of life, right? I mean, there are very personal issues about relationships, about children.
Right.
Saul, how do you look at this plank of the Republican Party's platform? And to our caller, Robert, he says, separation of church and state. You're in divinity school.
Yes, sir.
You're an evangelical Christian. What about that separation when it comes to this? He's asking about abortion.
Well, sir, I'll tell you, I think Robert brings up a great point. But people throw around that phrase, separation of church and state. But what do they mean by it? If we look at the founding of our country, James Madison actually brought up Martin Luther as one of the reasons for this understanding of separation. And I'm actually a Lutheran by trade, and I'm actually going to a Lutheran seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And the separation of church and state in actuality isn't that there needs to be this wall where the two never shall meet, but it's an understanding that there is a role for the state and a role for the church. And the state should govern by reason, natural law, and in the United States, the Constitution. The church should be governed by the Word of God. And when we're talking about reason and law and the Constitution, there's going to be debate, there's going to be argument, and when you look at marriage, it becomes a contract in the eyes of the state. And that's something that people can argue about, and ultimately it's going to be from their consent as to define it. From a church standpoint, that's set by the Word of God, and that's something that can't be changed. But there are two different realms that we're living in.
Is Mitt Romney conservative enough for you, Saul, on the social issues?
When you're dealing at the federal level, I'm a Republican because I don't want the federal government to be involved in issues that affect us individually. I want to limit the size of government.
What about abortion?
That should come from the state. That should come from the state. That should be a state issue.
Gay marriage.
State issue.
So you're fine with the states that have gone down that road, that have said yes?
I might disagree with that personally, but I do not live in those states.
Brian Monroe, you're listening to this sort of balance of economic concerns and social issues. It's a very tough platform. It has been before. Is Adele right that the economy is trumping everything for the delegates this year? You've got some real conservatives in that crowd.
Well, I think Adele it's fascinating to listen to her to discuss the conflict between the desires of the Republican Party to have a small government, to have government not dictate everything to the individual. And at some point, there are things that individuals choose, whether it's gay marriage or abortion, that are left to the states or left to local municipalities in some areas. And there's conflict there. And I think it's actually very healthy that there's an acknowledgement of the conflict and an explanation of conflict, rather than on either side a dogmatic, you know, we're going taking this right off the cliff.
The one thing with gay marriage is you have to realize that it's been posed to 32 states. It's gone to voters, and it's been defeated 32 times when presented, even in deep blue states. And that's because when you look at what happened in New York after 1 year later, only 8,000 couples in a city of 8 million people that is truly one of the gay capitals of the world got married. And so this issue is just not so important in people's lives, I think. And that's why it keeps getting defeated. And that's why people want to talk about jobs and the economy. This is not the dominant issue.
Jobs and the economy definitely matter. Of course, it is important in the lives of people who are directly affected by it, very important to them. Saul Grosskopf, Adele Malpass, Brian Monroe, it's great to have you with us. We're talking with delegates at the GOP convention in Tampa. Listeners, you can join us. Are you with them? Are you against them? And why? 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are live in Tampa, Florida, talking with delegates to the Republican National Convention. You can join the conversation this evening. What's the worldview that you hear from our delegates? Do you hear, understand, share their concerns, their dreams, or not? What do you want to hear, expect to hear tonight from Chris Christie and Romney? They will both be speaking to the Republican faithful gathered here in Florida. We're at 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Ryan Monroe is with us, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, now editor for CNNPolitics.com, joins us tonight. Also with us, Saul Grosskopf of Wisconsin. He is 25 years old, the chair in 2012 for the Wisconsin College Republicans, Divinity School student right here at the convention as a delegate, and Adele Malpass from New York City, 49 years old, mother of four, on the platform committee at the RNC's convention here. And they are with us. They've both been on the hall all day today. Let's go right to our callers. People calling in with questions for you guys. Louise in Boston. Thanks for calling, Louise. You're on the air to Tampa.
Hi. Yes. My question concerns the hope to decrease the safety net in order to balance the budget. Mm-hmm. Before I ask my question, though, I have to say, give some background. For several years ago, I had health issues that made me have to stop working. Because the safety net was there, I was able to take care of my health issues, and as my health increased, I was able to get paying jobs and to pay taxes. Okay.
Right.
If I had not had that safety system, I would not have been able to take care of my health. It would have gotten worse. I would never have been able to get a job and pay taxes. And I also want to say, I would do anything to get off the safety net, okay?
So for you, the safety net worked, and it turned you, it let you come back to being a productive, tax-paying citizen. Saul, there's a story. We're talking about big cuts in Romney Ryan, to balance that budget or get closer to it. And you hear Louise saying, well, what about me? What about her story?
Well, I think she brings up a great point, but one of the beauty of the federal system is that we have state governments. And when we have 50 different state governments all trying to take care of its citizens, you're going to have 50 different ways to look at an issue. States
is that better or worse for Louise? They use a lot of federal dollars to build that safety net in those 50 states.
They use a lot of federal dollars that have been taken away from them in federal taxes.
Are they going to bring them back?
Well, you know what? States have been called the laboratories of democracy, and that's because they can develop and innovate ideas to help their citizens through the best ways possible.
Are you confident they will? You know, most states have to have balanced budgets every year. Now, balance is nice. On the other hand, there's Louise by the side of the road, Samaritan.
You know what? I actually am confident they will, because state governments are more responsible to their citizens, and it becomes a neighborly function because they know the people who are representing them.
Neighborly function. We've had times in our history where there was not a safety net for people like Louise, when there was more power invested in the state governments. Where was the neighborly function?
The neighborly function is there not only with the state government, but with the church to those home communities.
So bring it right on down to that level.
Absolutely. The more local you can get, the more responsive you can be.
Let's get another. Josh in Charlotte, North Carolina. Josh, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. This is Josh. How are you tonight?
Pretty well. What's your question?
My question is, the guests on your show, do they seriously believe that Mitt Romney is the best candidate to represent the Republican Party, or are they merely electing to go with the platform as the lesser of two evils?
Mitt Romney's going to be a great president, and he has ideas of how to move the country forward. He believes in less taxes and less government, which will create growth and prosperity and hopefully lots of jobs. And with that, with lots of growth in our economy, we'll have more tax revenue come in. We'll be able to think about how to plan the future of entitlement programs in our country.
It has been a very rough economy, and yet Mitt Romney is not further ahead in the polls. This, you know, it's neck and neck this week. Maybe he's up by 1 point. Why do you think he's not further ahead with this tough economy?
I think after this week, I think he will be ahead. I think the obviously, for an incumbent president, I think President Obama should be much further ahead, and he's not. He's clawing his way to keep neck and neck, and he's already had to spend, I think, somewhere around $50 million in just a few battleground states to hold his own. And when you look at the polling in the battleground states, it's similar. It's 1 or 2 points here or there, and they're all fluctuating back and forth. I mean, it's a very tight race, and Mitt Romney, I think, after this week, when people see Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney speak on nationwide television, I think it's going to put them over the top.
A lot of money gushing around here. Saw Karl Rove just not so long ago walking by here. Of course, he represents a lot of money in this campaign. Let's go to Miami, Florida. Pam's calling from Miami. Hi, Pam. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Romney scares the heck out of me. It looks like he's willing to give huge tax breaks to the super wealthy and try and shrink the middle class down to nothing.
Saul, what do you say? Big tax breaks for the wealthy, shrink the middle class. That is the Obama warning about, the Obama campaign warning about Mitt Romney.
You know, frankly, I think it's a little sad that presidential campaigns become almost election of a dictator for 4 years. We have a Congress that has to take these issues as well. Mitt Romney isn't going to force through any issues that are going to gut the middle class.
But let's take his positions at face value. Let's take them seriously. And he is promoting what he's promoting. And part of that would be more tax breaks than Obama for a wealthier class in this country. Do you think that's appropriate right now?
Well, I think it is appropriate. And I'm having difficulty seeing how tax breaks and putting more money into the economy are actually going to hurt the citizens who are making up that economy.
Is that the right place to put more money into the economy at this point in our economic life, Adele?
It's been shown time and time again, you cut taxes, more revenue comes into the government, we have less debt, less deficits.
Well, that hasn't really been, I mean, that didn't work out so well in the 80s. We got great big deficits in the 80s. We had economic growth, but we also had huge deficits.
But we didn't. We had tax cuts in 1986, and then we had growth, and then Bill Clinton came in, and we had, it was with Newt Gingrich's help, the two of them cut taxes.
Yeah, the 90s, we got a lot of growth. We had tax cuts under George W.
budget.
Bush, and we had neither great growth or a balanced budget.
But we had lots of increase in spending, too.
Well, yeah.
And we're at a point where the Obama plan hasn't worked. We've had two stimuluses of $1.8 trillion, and that is the plan that we would have. And the question really is, what does Barack Obama think he needs to do to create 4% growth? Would it be, how big would the stimulus package be to create growth? And he has not answered that. We don't know what the Obama plan for a second term would be.
What would take? Elena in Providence, Rhode Island. Elena, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. My question to the delegates is that I'm a fiscal conservative, a social progressive. I'm a moderate Democrat, but willing to be convinced to vote
okay
the other side. But I'm a person of color, and I believe in immigration reform. What would they have to say to someone like myself to be considering Mitt Romney as president?
So they should think of you as a moderate, did you say Democrat?
I'm a moderate Democrat who used to be Republican. I'm fiscally conservative, but socially progressive. I'm a committed Christian, and I believe in immigration reform, the Dream Act, and yet the party, the Republican Party, is saying no. And I'm a daughter of immigrants, so I want to know what they can say to me to convince me to go to the Republican Party.
Adele, what's your pitch for Elena?
Do you like the track that the country's going on? Do you like it? You sound like a moderate who probably votes for both Republicans and Democrats. And do you like the direction the country is going in? And if your priority is more jobs and growth and your home prices going up, gasoline prices. So when Barack Obama was elected, gasoline in January 2009 cost $1.83 a gallon.
Yeah, you hear Alina. She's an immigrant herself. She wants the Dream Act. She wants more immigration reform. The platform that you've just worked on is very tough, pushing against. I can read to you on the immigration front here. I mean, it is tough.
Mitt Romney wants to have visas for anyone who has stayed in this country, who has education.
We oppose any form of amnesty for those who, by intentionally violating the law, disadvantage those who have obeyed it.
There's also in the platform somewhere in here that says if you've received any college or a graduate education in this country and you are an immigrant, you are allowed to, you can stay in this this country.
Federal funding should be denied to universities that provide in-state tuition to illegal immigrants. That's no Dream Act. I mean, that's your platform.
Right. That is the platform, definitely. But there are things in there. I mean, as I said, Mitt Romney has supported having visas for well-educated people who have jobs here, who are going to be contributing taxes and to our society and probably maybe innovating new jobs.
Let me ask you about this. This was in Michigan on Friday, and there's a lot of controversy over the weekend. This is Mitt Romney. He drew some criticism when he made a reference to him being born and raised in Michigan. People said, oh, there's the birther attack on the president again. Let's listen.
Now, I love being home in this place where Ann and I were raised, where both of us were born. Ann was born at Henry Ford Hospital. I was born at Harper Hospital. No one's ever asked to see my birth certificate. They know that this is the place that we were born and raised.
So, is it the race card? That's been asserted by a lot of Democrats over the last few days. You look around at this convention, it's a pretty white crowd. We'll see a lot of faces of color tonight on the platform, but it's a pretty white crowd. Was that the race card from Mitt Romney right there? Was that the calling out to white voters in this country?
You know, I'm not even sure why he was bragging. I'm from Wisconsin. He should have said he was born from the Badger State.
Yes, but Michigan's his home state. But you heard it. You heard it. What is it? Adele?
I think he was just poking a little fun at an issue that I think Obama has produced documents. Some people are still questioning those documents. But there really are a lot
of... Are you?
No, I'm not. There was a period during the fall that I thought, okay, just put this issue behind you and show us your doc. And he did. And there are still, as I said, some people who don't view it as a legitimate document.
But is that
find there are racial undertones in questioning where his birth certificate is from. But I do think there are issues that we don't know. There are lots of things we don't know about Barack Obama.
Really?
There are things that people want to see as college transcripts. They want to know whether he got a scholarship to go to Columbia. Did he use...
So you are still into all the doubts around the president thing. Hey, Brian, you're shaking your head.
You know what? Just put him behind you. It's a little, you know, and I think...
I don't sense him entirely behind you,
here's
Brian.
Here's the fascinating thing. The caller mentioned that she was a Christian. This year will be the first time in modern history that there is only one Protestant on the ticket. And guess who that is? Barack Obama. Yet you still ask, one in four Republicans.
You're drawing the Mormon distinction there.
There you go. One in four Republicans still think he's a Muslim. And so there are a lot of, you know, the birthers are another fringe of the conservatives who don't believe that he was born in this country. And, you know, it's interesting that there hadn't been, as far as I know, and I've been voting for a few years, another presidential candidate where this was even a question. You know, show us your papers. Show us where you're born. Show us your college transcripts. I don't remember this conversation coming up around Richard
Nixon.
There's
always this kind of stuff. Show us things in your background and all kinds of...
Show us your taxes has come up. Well, hey, so it's a question.
What do you think the chances are, Saul? What do you think the chances are for your guy and Paul Ryan, your fellow Wisconsin guy? As we sit here tonight, what do you think the chances are in November?
I think the chances are good.
Adele?
I think they're going to win. I think there are lots of momentum behind them. I think the party is strongly behind the base. He's raised a lot of money. He hasn't spent it. I think he's going to be able to outspend Barack Obama in September, October, and I think that's huge. And I think he's got a great message to win.
Adele Malpass of New York, Saul Grosskopf of Wisconsin, delegates at the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Thanks to each of you for being with us. It's so great to have you. Chris Christie will speak, the keynote speaker to the convention tonight. Here he was on MSNBC's Morning Joe, saying that Mitt Romney's holding his ground so far. Voter support is only going to get better, says Chris Christie.
If you're an incumbent president who won a big election 4 years ago, you've grossly outspent Mitt Romney up to this point. And you're not winning as an incumbent president. I mean, people are still getting to know Mitt Romney. Everyone knows the president. I mean, there's no miracle that's going to happen between now and November. They're going, oh, I didn't know that about President Obama. Now that I know that, I'm definitely going to vote for him. There can be moments like that starting on Thursday night on the stage for Governor Romney.
Chris Christie will be on the stage tonight. Brian Monroe is with us from CNNPolitics.com. And John Harwood joins us as well right now, Chief Washington Correspondent for CNBC, writer for the New York Times. John, great to have you.
Great to be here, Tom.
Hey, Brian, before we go to that, you heard the comments from Mitt Romney on the birth front. Hey, no question about where I was born. There have also been complaints from some Democrats about his talking about stripping the work requirement out of welfare, which is, everybody says, well, that's not really true, Governor Romney. You're an African American. Do you hear a race call out in those two?
Well, I don't know if it is as much in those two statements. Has it been permeating this campaign in general? Absolutely. But has it come necessarily from candidate Romney? I'm not so sure. I think the comment he made about being born in the hospital was more just dumb than anything else, and dumb politically, because he is normally a very, very careful, deliberate, disciplined politician. He doesn't make mistakes like that. There was no upside to that comment other than a throwaway joke, and he already had the crowd. Well, and in fact, it was a lot of downside, as we saw. You know,
maybe there's upside there.
If he was trying to make that statement to shore up the base, he should have gone there back during the primaries when he needed that base a lot stronger. I think it was a bad throwaway line that he probably regrets.
John Harwood, tonight we've got Ann Romney, we've got Chris Christie, we've got Nikki Haley of South Carolina. What's the theme, or maybe the themes, the 1-2 punch you expect tonight, John?
Well, the 1-2 punch is going to be Ann Romney and Chris Christie. Chris Christie is the pugnacious partisan who's also going to make an argument, as he said earlier today, that even if you're a tough partisan, you can get things done across party lines, says he's done that in New Jersey. But I think the most important speaker tonight is Ann Romney. If you've seen the excerpts that she put out, said, I'm going to speak from my heart about our hearts, try to connect Mitt Romney as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather to the American family, ways to link personal qualities about him toward the larger challenges that the country faces, and that's what Mitt Romney himself has failed to do. So that is why they moved her from Monday, when the broadcast networks were not going to be taking the 10 to 11 hour, to Tuesday, and I think she could have a consequential effect. There's nothing in this race that turns the race over. We've seen both sides are very dug in. There aren't that many undecided people, but she could make a difference.
Brian, she has said, my husband is the man to save America. Do you expect to hear that tonight?
Well, you're going to hear a lot from the heart, as John was saying. She is as powerful for Mitt Romney as Michelle Obama is for President Obama. And she will and has moved a lot more, not just women, but a lot more voters than he will ever touch. And that's a powerful 1-2 punch.
It's going to be tough stuff, though, from Chris Christie and Nikki Haley. What's the toughest thing you expect to hear from them tonight?
Well, I think Chris Christie has indicated he's going to talk more. Is actually going to be a little lower key than we're used to. And I've heard he may not mention Barack Obama's name at all.
You know there's going to be allusions in there. What's the toughest stuff you expect, John?
I expect Chris Christie to make the argument that President Obama is a failed leader, and he's going to try to make the case that Mitt Romney can get the job done.
John Harwood, CNBC and New York Times. So good to have you. We'll talk again. Brian Monroe with CNNPolitics.com. Thanks so much for having you here, being with us tonight. From Tampa, Florida, I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.